The same holds true, continuing with Alice, for our relationship with grown children. I once talked with a young man who had just made his second suicide attempt. He said to me, "I've suffered from depression since puberty. My life has no meaning. I thought my studies were to blame because they involved so much meaningless material. But now I've finished all my exams and the emptiness is worse than ever. But these depressions don't have anything to do with my childhood. My mother tells me I had a very happy and sheltered childhood." We saw each other again several years later. In the meantime, his mother had undergone analysis. There was an enormous difference between our two meetings. The young man had become creative, not only in his profession, but in his whole outlook. Unquestioningly, he was now living his life. In the course of our conversation, he said, "When my mother loosened up with the help of analysis, it was as though the scales fell from her eyes, and she saw what he and my father had done to me as parents. At first, it weighed on me the way she kept talking to me about it, apparently to unburden herself or to win my forgiveness, about how they had both, in effect, squelched me as a young child with their well-meaning methods of raising me. In the beginning, I didn't want to hear about it. I avoided her and became angry with her. But gradually, I noticed that what she was telling me was unfortunately entirely true. Something inside had known it all along, but I was not allowed to know it. Now that my mother was showing the strength to face what had happened head on, not to make excuses, not to deny or distort anything, because she felt that she too had once been a victim, now I was able to admit my knowledge of the past. It was a tremendous relief not to have to pretend any longer. And the amazing thing is that now, in spite of all her failings, which we both know about, I feel much closer to my mother and find her much more likable, animated, approachable, and warm than I did before. And I am much more genuine and spontaneous with her. The insincere effort I had to make is over. She no longer has to prove to me that she loves me in order to hide her guilt feelings. I sense that she likes me and loves me. She also doesn't have to prescribe rules of behavior for me anymore, but lets me be as I am, because she can be that way herself, and because she is herself less under the pressure of rules and regulations. A great burden has fallen from me. I enjoy life, and it all happened without my having to go through a lengthy analysis. But now I would no longer say that my suicide attempts were unrelated to my childhood. It's just that I wasn't permitted to see the connection, and that must have intensified my feeling of desperation." The young man was describing a situation that plays a role in the development of many mental illnesses, the repression of awareness dating back to early childhood that has become manifest only in physical symptoms, in the repetition compulsion, or in psychotic breakdown. John Bowlby has written an article entitled "On Knowing What You Are Not Supposed to Know and Feeling What You Are Not Supposed to Feel," in which he reports on similar experiences.